This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Life interrupted. I know who I am. This morning's theme, you may be wondering about what does it mean when we talk about and we say, life interrupted, yet I know who I am. We know that this year, 2020, especially in the last 6 to 7 months, our lives have been disrupted and interrupted beyond what we could have ever imagined. However, how do we still know who we are? This morning, we will be looking at this theme through the lens of the story of Naomi and Ruth, where we will find their story in Ruth chapter 1. Now, I know that we are all familiar with this story, but for those of you who this is your first time ever hearing about Ruth and Naomi, allow me to recap just a little what their story is about. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. Again, that is Ruth chapter 1, and we will find the story of Ruth and Naomi. Here we will see that it came to pass that in Bethlehem there was a man by the name of Elimelech. You don't have to put the verses on the screen. In Bethlehem there was a man by the name of Elimelech, and he was experiencing, the land that he was in, Bethlehem, was experiencing a famine. And coincidentally, let me let you know what Bethlehem means in Hebrew. Beit Lehem means the house of bread. And so truly, in this famine, the house of bread has now been emptied. And so now Elimelech is looking to provide for his family. So he takes his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they move to Moab in order to find provision there. In their journey, and as they moved to Moab, as they dwelled there, the first life interruption begins, and Elimelech dies. The head of the family dies, but, you know, no worry. Mahlon and Chilion went to find wives in their country, and in their country of present country of Moab, they found Orpah and Ruth, who joined the family. They dwelt in Moab for 10 years until another life interruption happened, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, leaving Orpah and Ruth as widows. What to do? How do you deal with, as Naomi, the death of your husband, the death of your children? How do you deal, as Ruth and Orpah, the deaths of their husbands and the fact that they had no children to carry on the name? Naomi decides to return to Bethlehem. Remember, it was the house of bread that was empty through that famine. Naomi decides to return to Bethlehem because now the famine has ended and Bethlehem is now full of bread. But then she tells her daughters-in-law to leave her because she knows that she's going to return them to a society that's going to look down upon their widows, because as a woman who has had children who have died, there is no one to redeem them. If she were to have gotten married right then, we have talked about levirate marriage in the past, if Naomi were to have found a husband right then, Orpah and Ruth would have had to wait several years for, if she had a boy, those young men to come to adult age of marrying. She didn't want to subject her daughters-in-law to waiting. She did not want to subject her daughters-in-law to the stigma of being a widow. She wanted to free them. And so she offered them and told them to leave and go back to their families. But Ruth remained, and you know that famous verse, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God." Another life interruption as they enter back into Bethlehem, where Naomi has now grown bitter. How do you deal with returning to a place where you had once left full, where you had your whole family with you, and now you return destitute and penniless? I will stop with the story there. Today's panelists will lead us through life interruptions. They will lead you through their stories on how their lives have been interrupted, but how they found their restoration in Jesus Christ. It is my privilege to introduce to you our panelists today, Tamara Dawes, Patricia Gustafson, Deborah Motti, and Anna Klein. We will begin with Tamara.
Good morning, church. March 9, 2018 was one of the happiest days for my family and I. We were blessed with the presence of Mia Joanna Scarlett, the wished for or loved child. For her dad, it was love at first sight. The NICU placed a camera in her incubator, and while he was in my hospital room, his eyes were fixated on his phone, amazed at every sound and move that she made. For big brother Zachary, who had named her years before she was conceived, this was truly a dream come true. My family felt picture perfect, and we were blessed. We didn't know that soon our story would change. On May 16, we took Mia to the doctor for her 2 months vaccine. He was amazed at how she was flourishing, and her weight had almost doubled since she came home. I was excited as well. The following morning, I woke up around 9 a.m., and my mother proceeded to tell me that while she was holding Mia, Mia had her hands held up in the air like this, 5 fingers out, and she's never seen a 2-month-old baby do that before. And we joked and we said, "Look at Mia praising God," not knowing that a few minutes later, disaster would happen. Within a few minutes, Mia went into respiratory distress, and I find myself performing CPR on our daughter, fighting to save her life. While I was doing CPR on her, I literally watched life leave my 2-month-old daughter. After 20 minutes, the paramedics were able to gain a pulse, and she was on life support. The church prayed for her, family and friends all over the world prayed for her, but God said no. On May 21st, 2018, as a family, we stood by her bed and watched life leave her body for me a second time as the life support was removed. When a traumatic event like this tsunami enters your life, life is not merely disrupted. Life felt shattered for us. There were days when I didn't like who I am, I couldn't go back to who I was, and I didn't know what the future held for me. There were days when I felt like I'm bitter, but I know I could be better. And I had a lot of bitter days. But God can transfer your pain to purpose if you let Him. Hmm. Won't you let Him? In February 2019, someone asked me to speak about human trafficking awareness to some vulnerable youths. And while doing my research, I was amazed that more than 50% of sex trafficking victims are children. There are more than 40 million human trafficking victims worldwide, and less than 1% are rescued. Less than 1%. I then realized that prevention and awareness education is essential to saving lives. The Holy Spirit kept telling me that this is what God wants me to use my human rights law degree to do.
And I wrestled with it a long time. And I seek counsel from Pastor Joe, and I asked the people at the Wednesday night prayer meeting to pray for me. And they did. And like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, I said, Lord, this cup is too much for me to bear. I can't do this. And I said, Lord, I've had 4 pregnancies. I've had 2 miscarriages. Mia died at 2 months old, and I have only Zach remaining. And you want me to use Mia's story to save the life of other children? But like Jesus, I surrendered and said, Lord, not my will, but thine. Mm-hmm. And I took up my cross. I did not carry this cross alone. I had the support of family and friends and church family that was always praying for us. And through that support, I gave birth to MJ Scarlett Foundation, an organization that teaches kids, youth, and adults how to identify sex perpetrators, know if they're being recruited, and how to protect themselves from human trafficking. Each month, with our online workshops, we influence hundreds of people, people from all over the world. I recently got a message from a young lady in California that told me she's never missed one of our workshops. Each month, we distribute 200 to 500 care packages to the homeless because homelessness is a major vulnerability to human trafficking. Hmm. We have a youth summit where we educate youth about human trafficking awareness while they're gaining community service hours from the comfort of their home. Also, we provide emergency shelter for human trafficking victims, survivors to get out of trafficking or to prevent someone from getting into trafficking. We just want to thank everyone that has supported us, and we thank you for your continued donations. You can follow us on our social media pages on MJ Scarlett Foundation, Inc. God can turn a negative into a positive.
Amen.
If you let him. Won't you?
Amen. Amen.
My name is Anna Kleen. Just want to tell you that many people grieve in different ways. Going back to Ruth chapter 1:13, Naomi told her 2 daughters-in-law, it is more bitter for me than for you. I could really be in the shoes of Naomi. I lost my husband after 37 years knowing this wonderful man, and suddenly my life was interrupted by a terminal illness that caused his death. I was devastated. I was alone, heartbroken. And during the time of that grief, I prayed to God, I talked to God, I questioned God. How am I going to deal after this big interruption of my life? I thought I was going to get all with him, but I didn't. As a Seventh-day Adventist, I claim the promise of God. I know he was with me. He held me during that devastated time. In Psalms 146:9, the Lord watches the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. So I knew God was with me. I just didn't know how to get the help because my bitterness and my anger were increasing. And it was affecting me, and it was affecting my daughters, who also was suffering for the loss of their father and even my family, my friends. I tried to find counseling here in the community, and at the beginning it was not very easy. Most of the counselors were younger than my daughters, and it was very difficult to open up because some of the counselors were not even married. My mother suggested that I go to Costa Rica and find a counselor down there, and I did. It was also good for me just to be apart from Sunrise for a while. I found this great counselor who talked to me, advised me, and also interacted and gave me scenarios as a new interrupted life as a widow. I also participate in a grief seminar, and it was very interesting because we always think that grief is losing someone, and it is. But also grief is also losing a house during a divorce. You end up losing a lot. If people have an accident and they end up losing an arm or a leg. In that seminar, there was this lady. She had a double mastectomy, and she lost her two breasts. It was very painful to see herself with no breasts. At that seminar, we were all losing something, but we also were there to accept our loss. I came back to Sunrise, and still, I was a little unhappy. And one night, I came to church, and Jesse saw me. Jesse is a coordinator from Hope Minister, and she took me under her wing. I needed a person like her with optimism, with passion, and she invited me to go and feed the homeless. I fed the homeless, and she also invited me to go to the shelter in Pompano. We fed the individuals at the shelter. We provide shoes and socks, and we also have kind talks, just talking to other people. Something wonderful about this minister is it taught me that I needed to focus in others and not so much in my misery. And at the end, I found out that grief counseling and spiritual counseling go hand by hand. During my interrupted life and also to my accepting of a new life as a widow, as a better mother, as a better grandmother, and also a member of this church.
Amen.
Wow. Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath, online viewers. I just want to say that I'm so privileged to be here among these beautiful women and their life stories. And I would like to start with Romans 8:28 that say, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but also to me one of the most difficult sometimes to understand, because the word of God is truth. But living a Christian life and having faith and having a relationship with God doesn't really keep you from having pain and troubles and challenges in life. And sometimes I ask God, how can I really understand or praise him for all things that happen in our lives, especially when we are in the valley, when we are going through pain and loss, and sometimes you lose your ground, and then you feel, then now what? I don't know if I can take or go through all this by myself. And actually, moments like this, when I hear stories like that, and how you, through faith, with God's help and prayer, you can come out and still, from something negative, bring something positive to help others. And actually, you that are out there listening to us right now, this is to show you that you are not alone through the process. To me, this is what really bring the meaning of being Christian and having a church body, is to carry each other's burdens.
Amen.
To share what you go through, to be real, because that's the only way the process of healing can happen. And on my daughter was pregnant, and my plan and our plan was for her to have the baby here in the U.S. She was in Brazil, and I went there to bring her back here. I have my flight back with her on October 25th. And while we are preparing everything to come back to the U.S., on October 23rd, which was a Friday, in the afternoon, she called me. I was 2 hours from where she was because I was with my mom and my visiting my aunt. She called me and she said, "Mom, I'm in the hospital. I'm not feeling good. I'm having pain. Can you come? Because they're telling me the baby gonna born." And I'm like, so I run to meet her at the hospital because she was 27 weeks. The baby would have a very little chance to survive. But anyway, I run there. I got to the hospital. While I went in my way, I asked my prayer warriors, my friends, to pray for me, to pray for the situation. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was just running in. When I got to the hospital, about 5 o'clock, the doctors medicated her to see if they could hold the baby. But by 10 p.m., the doctor came and said, "The baby is coming out." And he was standing, and he said, "We have to do emergency C-section. We cannot guarantee anything, but we're going to try." So at that moment, because I ran to the hospital, all I had is my phone with me, and they didn't want me to come in with a phone, but I sneaked the phone in. And for some reason, I opened the she said, "Mom, what I'm going to do?" I said, "Listen, we have to trust God. There's a lot of people praying." And I felt at this moment, you know, when Naomi, making like a parallel with Naomi and Ruth, like when Naomi lost everything and she said, "Go, you know, go have your life." And Naomi said, "Go." And Ruth decided to stick with her. You know, "Where you go, I go." I felt at that moment that my prayer warriors was lifting me in prayers, me and my daughter. I opened the phone and Patricia sent me a message with the Psalm 21, Psalm 23, and 91. At that moment, I knew was God used her to send me this because that's the only thing I had in front of me because I lost my ground and I was shaking inside, but I had to be strong for my daughter. So I read to her the Psalms and I prayed for her and we went to the emergency C-section. And she had the baby. And the baby now, baby Benjamin, is still alive. He's in intensive care unit for babies, premature, in Brazil. And every day is a new challenge and a victory. And just like I came today, my sister just told me, again, giving me the support and say, "It's gonna be okay, it's gonna be fine." My daughter actually are coming closer to the Lord. I'm watching the maternity bring her closer to God. So while I'm waiting, you know, for the miracle to happen, having the support of a sisterhood and a church that embrace you, regardless of all the problems we have because we are just a human being, I thank God for this support because it's good to have faith in God, but having a human being helping you is very important. So I want to let you know that you are listening to me right now and listening to these stories, that you are not alone.
Amen.
You know, we are here as a church family, as a woman's ministry, for you, not only to pray. When you have a chance and you come here, we would like to embrace you, to have you with us. We're stronger. We are together. We are stronger. And I would like to let you know that your miracle is in a way. I believe my miracle is in the process now. God is working the miracle. And while we wait for a miracle, we are here together to lift each other and to carry each other burdens.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, the process of transitioning from certain interruptions in life really requires healing. And that the Bible is not really specific. It doesn't tell us details about the process of healing for Ruth and Naomi. But I can really imagine what they went through. Going myself through a process of divorce, I can really relate with what it is that you just trying to find your place in society. Mm-hmm. You have lost your status. You have lost everything. And then you try to find your place in society. Try to rediscover who you are in that season that you are. And that the self-blame, the shame, the guilt, and everything that follows it, it doesn't make any easier. But there are a few steps that we need to follow when we go through this process of healing, because you can really not start the new process in your life until you resolve that already, until you resolve that with yourself. And the first step is really to reconnect with yourself. Our experiences really shapes who we are. And then we have, at that moment that we're going through that experience, we have to find out, we have to take a step back and reconnect with ourselves, find out who we are at that stage of our lives. And you need to get to know this new person. And healing is really to let go of the old self and embrace the new restored version of yourself. And that to let go the old self is not easy. It's painful and it's hard. But it's just like a gold being purified in fire. The process, the end of the process, is going to be beautiful. So take your time. Our journeys, we all have specific journeys and they are different from each other. So take your time. Some people will need more time than others, but that's your time. Don't rush in the process. Get the resources around you that will help you to get there. And one of the things that we really need to do is to do not compare ourselves with other people. Like I mentioned, we are different people. We have different purposes. And our journey, it is different from everybody else. So embrace your journey. I hear a lot about people getting depressed and anxious and frustrated of looking at social media, what others are portraying about their lives in social media, which may or may not be real, because it's easy to portray something that's so far away from us and then manipulate the image that you want to offer to the world. But stop looking at those things. Stop looking at your surroundings and really look at yourself. Focus on yourself. Focus on your journey and focus on your healing. Recycle your friendships. That's very important. I was going through my process. I already had so much going on in my life. I had so much noises around me and so many situations pulling me. I didn't want anything else to pull me down. Mm-hmm. I needed people that would lift me up. I needed prayer warriors around me. I needed my sisters. I needed my church, my family church, to be with me. Also, don't try to do this by yourself. You need people around you. You really do. And I went through a stage where so now I want to really talk to our church family. Let people heal. Because I went through a process where people around me, it felt like people felt that I was divorcing them. They were angry. They were upset. They were disappointed. And they were judgmental. And they were cruel. We can be so cruel with people sometimes. So let's let people heal. But for me, one of the most beautiful and comforting experiences was when I came to this church. And I was so broken and I felt so empty, like I didn't have anything to give. So I was being very selfish. I came here just to get fed. And I came, I sat there, I got fed, and I was the first one to get out of the door. And the beautiful thing that I found here is there was no judgment, was no questions asked. And I had smiles and hugs, and that was so important for my healing. Give me the space for me to heal. That was so important. We are living a time right now where our church will be open, the doors will be open, people will come back in, and everybody brings so much hurt, so much pain through this whole experience that we've been through this past few months. So we need to let people heal and let people heal in their pace and just allow them to be here and go through the healing process and support them. Sometimes we'll be able to support people very close, but sometimes we'll support them from afar. But let people heal without judgment and without questions asked. And the last step for you going through a healing process, let God be the source of your strength.
Amen.
The process of healing is a process of depending on God and God only. You don't know, you may not understand your presence, and you don't know what the future is going to hold, but you know that God is the God of everything, the God of the timing also, and He has a plan for you. So let God be the source of your strength in your present and your unknown future.
Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we return ourselves to the story of Ruth and Naomi. I left off where they re-entered Bethlehem, where Bethlehem was now full, where Bethlehem was no longer in a famine, and where Naomi had left full, but now she returns empty. So her home was full, but her house was empty. You have heard in the stories of today how we have dealt with widowhood, how our sister Anna dealt with the loss of her husband, and how she coped in being able to see the needs of others and not focus on herself. We have seen how the process of mental health comes in, of how we need to not only find support within our sisters, but we need to find professional support for those who can lead us through and allow us to see our depression and our bitterness. I know Sister Anna had mentioned to me before she shared this story was that she begged God not to allow her to be depressed. And in trying to focus on her non-depression, she didn't realize how bitter she had become until her therapist had showed her what her bitterness was doing and that it was pushing people away, and how she needed to focus on other things, on other needs going on around her. Our sister Tamara, like Naomi, experienced grief in losing her children, her child. I cannot imagine what it could have been like, but I do remember Tamara mentioning to me that her mother had told her that she needed to get out of bed. She couldn't wallow. And so Tamara would sleep on the floor in order to remind herself to be able to get up and face life. She took her pain and she turned it into purpose. She turned it into a purpose that would help others suffering in human trafficking, and she took that purpose and put it in her daughter's name to be able to recognize the talents that God has given her in her law degree and to be able to fight now in her daughter's name for the other daughters out there who are lost. Turning your pain into purpose. We heard from our sister Deborah, who is now in the waiting stage. She's been a faithful woman of God, knowing and coming to God in worship and prayer, but now that this has happened to her daughter, She is now looking upon the fruits of her labor as she watches, as she remembers how she instilled within Hadassah the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And she is now watching her daughter grow in her maturity and spirituality as they pray and watch little Benjamin fight for his life. But here she is, she doesn't know. And like Ruth and Naomi, when they re-entered into Bethlehem, they had no idea the kinds of life that would be awaiting them. They only knew that they would be at the bottom of the barrel. They only knew that they would be the widows of society, because widows, because they don't have husbands or a legacy to carry them through, they're at the bottom. And now Ruth and Naomi were in their waiting time. How do you wait upon God? And we hear how Deborah knows that she is in a waiting time with her daughter. But in this waiting time, her sisters, her church family, have rallied around and come together in prayer to lift her up during her waiting. We have heard from Sister Patricia how now her journey out of being divorced and having to transition now, to pull herself apart from the regular and to see how God is going to lead her. We have seen how she has had to now rely on the different ways to cope with grief and loss, and how she has experienced through the church family, through how the church family enabled her and allowed her space to grieve her loss of a marriage, but didn't pass on judgment, but just allowed her space to heal. We have seen different aspects of how life has been interrupted, but how God has filled up that space of interruption and turned their faces towards Him. And now we wonder, how does Ruth and Naomi's story end? For those of you who know the story, you know this well, but for those of you who don't know, Ruth and Naomi entered a waiting period, and when they re-entered Bethlehem, they had nothing to eat. There was nothing that was given to them. People saw how much they were destitute. And so Ruth had to go and glean. And what is gleaning? Gleaning is going to a field and picking up the leftover food that is there. You're picking up the bottom of the barrel. Ruth goes to glean, and she encounters the kindness of Boaz, who is Naomi's cousin, relative along those lines. With her mother-in-law's advice, she approaches Boaz in a manner of sleeping at his feet, and he knows that this is an ask for protection. He knows that this is his time now to provide for her. So Boaz, provided for Ruth and Naomi by allowing Ruth to glean from his fields without first knowing who Naomi was. He later discovered that she was the daughter-in-law of his deceased relative. But he allowed her this kindness. He, like the church, responded promptly. They responded in kindness. He responded in kindness without judgment and gave her food. And later, when she approached in a way to ask for marriage, he granted her that, but with the proviso that there was somebody else that actually had claim to his land, and by proxy, her, there was a closer relative. He was honest about this. He said, I would love to help you and redeem you, but there is one closer than I. So Boaz went through the proper channels. He, in front of all the elders, he approached this relative, told him what he could inherit in the land of Elimelech, and he told him what he could also inherit in Ruth. But the relative declined, and Boaz took his place as the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. Through this, not only did he redeem Ruth, he redeemed Naomi because their child also became the ancestor to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he used, God foresaw everything that was about to happen. He foresaw the grief that would happen in their lives, and he made a plan that would allow Ruth and Naomi redemption, but not only just redemption, but the ability for the lineage of Jesus Christ to come through. Brothers and sisters, we've all had life interruptions. This year alone has given us life interruptions that we would never have dreamed of. But God has been ahead of us. He has seen and prepared the way. Do you know who you are in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
In Joel 2:25, there is a promise that says, I will restore to you all that the locusts have eaten. And then it says, and then you will eat of plenty. See, God sees the griefs that you have experienced, not only in this past life, but in the present life of 2020. We have lost family members, we have lost jobs, we have lost our finances, some have lost our homes, and some are very close to losing their sanity. But Jesus and God promise, I will restore to you all that you have lost. We need to be able to sit in this promise and glean from this promise. We need to be able to take Romans 8:28, for I know the plans that I have for you. That's Jeremiah 29:11. All things work together for the good of those who love him.
Amen.
So although we have these interruptions that we will not foresee, all of these tragedies have passed through the hand of God first. He knows what we can withstand. He knows what lies ahead of us. And he says, you are my daughter. You are my princess. You are my son. You are my prince. I know what I have for you. My world is at your feet. You have access to all I have. And no matter what comes before you, never forget that you are in my line of royalty. You are my princess and my prince. You are my child, and I will restore you.
Amen.
So as we have learned in Ruth and Naomi, how they were restored, let us look at our life interruptions and not look at them as an end-all be-all, but as something that we can take and testify about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, about who we are and how he will continue to sustain us from today and this day forward. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Let's all stand as as we sing, I Know Who I Am. Dion requested this song. She said after her sermon, we gotta sing about that. We know who we are.
I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can you see His glory? Cause I don't see why.
Blessed that we know who we are in Jesus Christ, even though our life gets interrupted. We know who our pillar and our stronghold is. Let us pray. Father God, you are awesome, Abba Father. You are amazing. You are our life giver. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for our life interruptions that draw us closer to you. Father, we thank you for the interruptions that remind us not only who we are, Father, but who you are. In these times, Lord, where we may be wondering why our lives are the way that they are, why we are experiencing these challenges. Father, may you draw near to us. May you renew within us your purpose. May you remind us of your calling upon our lives. May you anoint us, Father, from our head to our toes. And in turn, Father, may we take our test, turn it into a testimony, and let it ring out loud in praise and glory and honor to your name. For we know who we are, Father, which is yours, your daughters, your sons, princesses and princes of your kingdom. Thank you for reminding us who we are in you. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.